Last week on Licensed to Parent.
I got into the power of the subconscious mind and practicing these forms of visualization. And before I knew it, my electric guitar music began to sound like sitar music. My lyrics were pushing Eastern mysticism, New Age concepts. I was basically being initiated into New Age teaching through my own lyrics. And I was glorifying Satanism.
That's now Christian pastor Joe Schimmel describing his past life in rock music. And today we'll continue a conversation with him on the effects of music, especially in the life of your teen, on Licensed to Parent. Hello and welcome to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential therapeutic program working with teens in crisis and their families. Our goal, to take the lessons learned inside the gates of Shepherd's Hill, outside the gates, to equip you to be the kind of parent your teen needs and the kind of parent that God wired you to be. Our host on Licensed to Parent is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Academy, Trace Embry. And Trace, this week is a part two from a conversation that began last week with our special guest, Pastor Joe Schimmel. We were talking about the influence that music in particular has on our youth today, but mm-hmm. I mean, let's admit it has that same effect on us as well.
It really has, and more than we think. Entire cultures have gone down the drain using music as a tool. Music is brought into the equation in battles. You know, you get the trumpet, it gets people pumped up to look at the Jericho. I mean, we don't really know what happened there, but you know, they drop the walls with a trumpet blast, you know, so you break wine glasses with sound. I mean, there's a lot of things going on that we don't really see on the surface. But
movies and television are a great example, too. If you turn off the sound when watching a movie mm-hmm. or a television program, it has a much different feel to it.
How many movies would you not have cried at if it wasn't for the music in the background?
That's true. Music has a way of moving the soul, moving the spirit, the emotion, and shaping the way that we view life. And the unfortunate thing is that just in light of having a soundtrack, so much of life for our kids these days has a soundtrack because they've always got their earbuds in.
That's exactly right.
And that soundtrack is therefore shaping the world that they are viewing through their eyes.
It's indoctrinating them on a spiritual level. They're not even cognitively aware of it. And I want this broadcast to make parents at least cognitively aware of it.
Right.
But because it's such a deeply spiritual topic, a lot of people don't grasp it.
Right. Well, let me reintroduce our guest today. For those who didn't hear last week's program, please go to our website, licensedtoparent.org, and check out the archives, and you can find part one of this conversation. But for over 30 years, today's guest has been delivering the gospel of Christ and the gospel of how careful we need to be with music and media through a state-of-the-art multimedia seminar that he put together entitled They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And to date, that message has influenced thousands to turn from the negative cultural influences toward God, toward the spiritual influences that lead to positive spiritual growth. Again, his name is Joe Schimmel. He's also the senior pastor at Blessed Hope Chapel, which is an evangelical non-denominational fellowship in Simi Valley, California. And Joe is also involved with Good Fight Ministries. That's a nonprofit organization that specializes in teaching and encouraging spiritual warfare against the powers of darkness, as well as sharing important insights as they relate to biblical prophecy and to the end times. And Joe, once again, welcome to Licensed to Parent. Thanks for hanging in for yet another week.
Oh, it's great to be with you guys again.
Well, you know, Rich, you mentioned spiritual warfare. I think that's a premise that a lot of Christian people don't really take into consideration in this whole equation. I think you have to first buy the premise before the rest of the story makes sense. But Joe, I want to ask you, at or around the year 2000, Eric Holmberg produced a 6.5-hour video series on the dangers of rock and roll called Hell's Bells 2. In 1989, he did the first Hell's Bells, and he couldn't produce enough of them. He sold them like hotcakes. A decade later, he couldn't hardly give away Hell's Bells 2, and it was a much better production in the year 2000. He had planned to do another documentary on Christian contemporary music, but he scrapped the whole idea because he realized that nobody wanted their music messed with. What happened in our culture and in our church during the 1990s that might explain some of this?
I think, you know, prior to the 90s, even in the Christian church, there was, the priests in the Old Testament were rebuked by God on more than one occasion because they didn't make a, you know, they didn't make a distinction, it says, between that which was holy and that which was profane. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's because a lot of the leadership in the Christian church, a lot of the pastors, a lot of the leaders in their own lives, they often, you know, they can care less about making a distinction between, you know, what music glorifies God, that which doesn't, you know, what movies to watch, you know, and so forth. And there are certainly many, many pastors out there that are concerned about glorifying God and living holy lives and teaching holiness. But there's a growing amount, especially in the emergent movement, which really got going in the 90s and so forth, that mentality at least, which really isn't about holiness. It's about, you know, hey, let's clean up the planet, let's save the trees. Mm-hmm. They're not so much about the gospel and so forth. Not just saying emergence and so forth. But there are many people that don't make a distinction. So today, it would be probably hard for Eric and myself to end up in a lot of the churches that invited us in the past to address their fellowships about, you know, that which is holy and that which is profane in regard to entertainment and music. And entertainment, I think, has become such a god, even in the church,
right,
such an idol, that people don't want their idol messed with. And I think that's become a huge problem and is why it needs to be addressed even more and not
sure,
less.
Sure. And I think we have to take this in consideration, too, is that postmodern thought has kind of come to bloom in the 1990s. I mean, we voted in a hippie president. I'm talking about Bill Clinton. This is the guy who his postmodern thought had so influenced him to where he was going to redefine sex and then redefine what the term is. So everything became about opinion. Everything was subjective. And, you know, if I like the sound of this, then it must be good. And my point is, I have no problem with a Christian song as entertainment. You know, a lot of the conservative radio broadcasts, Christian radio broadcasts, went from worship music to really kind of entertainment music. Not that you couldn't worship God to some of this stuff. I'm sure you can. But it really changed to where it's like, you mentioned it on the last program. It's you can substitute or they take Jesus out of the equation in the song. And you could just as easily market that song as a top 40 pop song, and I think that's the motivation for why. Pretty much know it's the motivation for a lot of it, is it can cross over into a market. And then they'll use the argument, well, that's how we evangelize. And it may be true that since we've become a nation that now has more missionaries coming into us than we're sending out, it may be that we have become a nation that has decivilized, as former Education Secretary Bill Bennett said. He said, America's rapidly becoming the kind of nation that civilized nations send missionaries to. And I think you see that, and I think that might have something to do with why we've kind of turned our appetites toward entertainment rather than worshiping God. Tell me where I'm going wrong there.
No, I'm actually in agreement with you. And when you mentioned the postmodernism in the 90s, that's basically the ideological backbone of this emergent movement mm-hmm. right now and
right.
so forth. And I see the same thing that you guys see.
Yeah. And church splits. What's the number one reason that church split today?
Oh, man.
I think
that's
it would be
a loaded question.
Well, I think it would be safe to say that it's very often music. You've got two services at a lot of churches. I go to churches and speak. And
right,
you want to speak the first service or second service? Well, what's the difference in the two? Well, the first one is a contemporary service. The old people, you know, they don't want to listen to that stuff. You know, the second service is, you know, more rock and roll type service. And so churches have split over this. And I think that Satan, you know, he used music from the beginning to worship God. And he wanted that worship, and he's still working through music today. That's just my two cents. But
I think the point you brought up just now, and then you guys also began the program talking about the spiritual warfare aspect of what's going on in the world and in music. And a lot of people are unaware that Satan was a music leader, a worship leader. We know this because we see that cherubim in Revelation 4 and 5, they have musical instruments, they have string instruments, harps, and, mm-hmm. and they begin this crescendo worship that goes to the 24 elders and then to all of creation, and they begin to worship there. And yet we're told in Isaiah chapter 28 or Ezekiel 28 that Satan's the anointed cherub who profaned his sanctuaries and he was created with tabrets in him. And Isaiah 14 talks about how, you know, thou Lucifer, you know, he wanted to be, says how you would fallen from heaven, and You want to be like the Most High God, and it says he'll be brought down to Sheol, and his musical instruments or his stringed instruments will be brought down with him. Hmm. I think it's interesting that God associates him with the sanctuary, with worship, and then you see Satan telling Jesus, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you the kingdom of the world. After he gives him a vision in Luke 4, it says he showed him the kingdom of the world in a moment's time. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. It's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God alone and serve him only.
Right.
And Satan fled for a season. But Satan wants worship, and angels are created higher than us, and fallen angels possess human beings. Jesus cast out many of them. So it should not be startling to us that music would have such a central part of human life, because we were created to worship.
Yeah.
Over and over again, as I said in the last program, there's over 800 commands to sing to the Lord. Satan knows that, and he knows the worship in heaven is not secular. It's not glorifying evil. It glorifies Jesus. But the music here, and many of the artists, and we show this through our video, over and over again, they admit possession or they admit influence by demonic entities and different
right.
types of spirit beings. These are the leading musicians. And over again, the content of the music is about, the occult, about, Satanism. We show that over and over again. Killing cops, killing police officers, sexual perversion,
sure.
Violence, and all kind of drugs and so forth. And I tell parents sometimes, I say, would you allow your child or your children to be, what if you came home and you found out that the babysitter was encouraging them to undermine your authority and was glorifying all kinds of evil things, like I just mentioned?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, that would be terrible. Of course I wouldn't allow that. I said, well, how can you allow your children to listen to iPod, 24/7, and the kids are listening to it more than ever, the music. And if you look at the lyrics that are being pumped in your child's heart and mind, it's those very themes.
Yeah.
I want to jump in, and boy, do I hate to use this term, but I'm going to play devil's advocate. Oh, there's got to be a better term we can come up with for that. But let's pull this back for a moment if we can, because Trace and I often talk about this, and Joe, I believe you speak on this as well, about the damage that is so often done by inappropriate use of music and media. Can we step away from the spiritual side for a moment and look at maybe some other documentation, medical or otherwise, that might support what we're talking
sure.
about today? What would you offer that some who need a more clinical approach to this might ask for? What documentation is there?
How about a Newsweek article, Music and the Brain, that they declared, quote, scientists are finding that the human brain is pre-wired for music. This is Newsweek, July 24th, 2000. Mm-hmm. Newsweek went on to report that, quote, the temporal lobes of the brain, just behind the ears, act as the music center. The brain seems to be a sponge for music, and like a sponge in water, is changed by it. Now that gets my attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Richard Pellegrino, who was a consultant for Billboard magazine, he stated, and he's a brain specialist.
And Billboard, by the way, is the leading music industry magazine that shows how well songs are doing in commercial radio and television airplay, just for
exactly.
our listeners.
Yeah. Right. And now this is an article that appears in Billboard magazine a year before the last article I mentioned. And he says that that music has the uncanny power, he says, to trigger a flood of human emotions and images that have the ability to instantaneously produce very powerful changes in emotional states. He says, take it from a brain guy, in 25 years of working with the brain, I still cannot affect a person's state of mind the way that one simple song can,
mm-hmm.
end quote.
Yeah.
That is horrifying when you think of the fact that, Newsweek, secular magazine, Billboard, a secular music magazine, are both talking about things like the brain is changed like a sponge in the water, or can change, the brain can be changed by one song more than anything else I've found in 25 years. And then can we walk away from these scientific studies and say, yeah, but it's not going to affect me? Unfortunately, so many people do. And that's simply pride, saying that, hey, I can listen to all the
right.
garbage I want. It's not going to affect me. That's like saying, hey, I can eat ice cream and cake all day long, but it's not going to affect my health at all.
Right.
It's not true.
Even without the Holy Spirit to bring enlightenment and instruction, guys like Socrates, Aristotle, Plato all realized and wrote about the power of and danger in music. They noticed things about music that most Christians, supposedly having the Holy Spirit, don't grasp. Now, what's it going to take to wake up the sleeping masses, the sleeping church, Joe?
Yeah, I think Aristotle said, you can show me a nation's laws, and I'll tell you what kind of music they've been listening
mm-hmm.
to.
You know, let me ask you this. How is it? And this ought to wake up some parents, and I want to get into some solutions here because I know we're kind of running out of time again. But how is it that the music that our military uses to torture our enemy at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, is the very same music that so many parents actually let their kids listen to for amusement? Metallica was, I believe it was Metallica, was the band that they used to torture the enemy at Guantanamo Bay. All right. And Metallica then complained and said, we don't want our music to be used to torture the enemy. Right. So they get what do they do? They get this Christian band, Demon Hunter, to torture the enemy at Guantanamo. Now, doesn't the fact that prisoners who can't understand English indicate that maybe it's the music by itself that's so destructive and that maybe lyrics don't even have to be in the equation?
No, that's an excellent illustration and definitely a great illustration of what we're doing to our kids, what we're allowing. And
yeah.
I do believe there are some really good biblical guidelines and solutions. And in fact, personally, as I go through scripture, I try to keep my spiritual antenna up to what the Lord says about these subjects, because some people say, hey, well, it's not really addressed in scripture. We had a gentleman say recently on one of our exposés on YouTube, state, well, the Bible actually says nothing about music. And I just thought, wow, poor guy. He really hasn't been in the scripture much.
Yeah.
He's not paying attention.
Right.
But let me give you just a few scriptures. I know in Isaiah chapter 5, it's a passage that I read and my heart aches for the Lord when I read it, because he pronounces a bunch of woes on, because they're calling, good evil and evil good and so forth, waking up early in the morning, get drunk, these kinds of things. And one of the things he says when he pronounces the woe, he says that you have these banquets, you have these parties with all this music, but you never mention me. I thought, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
His heart grieves because they're partying, they have all this music, but it's not about him. And we're created for his glory.
Yeah.
We're created to worship God. We're certainly not going to be, we won't have Metallica up in heaven,
Right.
And then another scripture I like too is on this issue is Psalm 119, verse 54. And I love this a lot. It says, your decrees, and it fits with what you said earlier in the program about what the theme music to these children's lives is music that just promotes evil, something of that nature. Well, listen to Psalm 119, verse 54. It says, your decrees, that's God's truth, his word, have become the theme of my songs wherever I have lived.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And that, I think that's a great example for us, is that his word should be the theme of our songs. And
and
then I love Ecclesiastes 7:5 along these lines as well. And I think this would be helpful to many parents as they bring their children up. It says, it's better to hear the rebuke of the wise. And then it says, better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools.
Mm.
Now, the Bible defines a fool as one who says in their heart there's no God. And that could be also the practical atheist who's not living for God. And throughout Scripture, the fool is contrasted with the man who lives with wisdom. And the fool is simply the one who refuses to be guided by God's wisdom and the fear of the Lord. And that most music that's out there today, and the psalmist says it's better to hear the rebuke of the wise. So I'd much rather have his decrees as the theme of my song,
sure,
my theme of my life, and the rebuke of the wise within the songs than the mm-hmm. lifestyle that's promoted by what the Bible calls fools. So
Let me jump in real quick. We do need to take a break on behalf of our stations, which this happened on the last program, too. We kept going and didn't want to stop. We're talking with Joe Schimmel, and we are talking about the influence that music has on our lives, on our spiritual lives, on our attitudes, on the way we interact with God. We will continue looking at some of the solutions on how to overcome this, and as Joe is doing, be more intentional in our music choices. This is Licensed to Parent, back with more conversation right after this.
Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org.
In the training of our children, what role should public school play? Documentarian Colin Gunn takes a panoramic exploration of this issue by hopping in a school bus for a field trip all over America in the DVD Indoctrination. Colin conducts a series of candid interviews and discovers how God's recipe for training the next generation is being replaced with a humanistic, man-centered program that fragments the family and undermines the influence of the church and the Great Commission. Christian teachers and principals share how they're attempting to walk the tightrope between teaching what they do not believe and being restricted from their God-given call to be salt and light. Indoctrination, Public Schools and the Decline of Christianity in America. Available in the Licensed to Parent store at licensedtoparent.org. Proceeds support the Shepherd's Hill Academy Student Scholarship Fund.
This is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, located just north of Atlanta, Georgia. Our host is Trace Embry, and our guest today is Pastor Joe Schimmel. We've been talking about the influences of music on our culture and specifically on our teens, and I tell you, it's far deeper than I have ever heard discussed. Yeah, this is a great conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joe, in an age of headphones and iPods, how can parents do a better job of monitoring what they're listening to? We've always had a no headphones policy in our home, and certainly the kids aren't exposed to it here at Shepherd's Hill. Do you have any suggestions in that area?
Well, I think what you just said just now, while some parents will think that's going too far. I don't think you can go too far.
No, you can't.
With your children and their spiritual destiny is at stake.
Right.
And I think that's a great move in the home. I think parents need to be more deliberate themselves and not just what they listen to, mm-hmm. but make sure. I think as my children were growing up in the house, I'd surprise them and say, "Hey, what are you listening to right now?"
Yeah.
And I would look at what they're listening to. And that way, they'd never know. And I just, hey, pop in, And we go through a story with Cassie Bernal, who is the one who said yes when she was gunned down at
Columbine murders by
Clay Bolden Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent quite a bit of time interviewing her dad in Colorado. And he talked about how she got into Marilyn Manson's music, who, by the way, said, raise your children better. Or I'll raise them for you.
Yeah.
He lost her, and she was sneaking off out the window to Marilyn Manson concerts, and she was writing about death, tombstones, going to kill mom and dad.
Mm.
And when they got revelation of this, they talked to law enforcement, and law enforcement let them know, hey, you're allowed by law to know what your children are listening to, what they're going through, and you can check their rooms anytime.
I hope you hear that, parents.
The Marilyn Manson said, raise your children better, I'll raise them for you. And he was raising Cassie Bernal. And millions of kids are being raised by entertainers that are very wicked and have wicked designs. And if Cassie Bernal's father had checked her music a little bit earlier,
mm-hmm.
it could have safeguarded her from what she fell into.
Yeah.
But thank God and praise God, God gave him a heads up. They found out what was going on with her. He intervened. He sent her on a Christian retreat up in the mountains, maybe similar to what you guys do.
Probably.
I'm not sure. And she came to Jesus, and she got saved, and she was able to stand up for Jesus because her mind was renewed by the Word of God, and she got out of the music that was programming her.
Amen. Amen. So Junior comes home with a CD that he's paid for, and it's Jay-Z or somebody else, and they've got the cross hung around their neck. One of the songs on the CD jacket, maybe the first one, is about God in prayer. Mom says, well, you know what? They're singing about God. He's got the cross hanging around his neck. He's giving thanks to God and Jesus at the MTV award shows. Here's your $20. Go ahead and buy the DVD or a CD. What's going on? What counsel do you have for that parent?
I'd say, you need to look deeper, beyond the accolades and of Jay-Z and look into his music and say, okay, here's a song, Jay-Z's song, for instance, speaks about shooting up a whole block of people and killing them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'd point out that God says he'd have no other gods before him. And, of course, first and foremost, I'd start with the gospel. And encourage my children and appeal to their conscience and their need for the Savior, and make sure they understand their need for Jesus and to glorify Him and the, their eternal destiny, and that life is a vapor, and press upon them the need to be right with God. Yeah. So there's that foundation, and the fear of the Lord is what leads to wisdom, so they'll even, you know, be open to godly counsel. And so I've raised all my children to know the Lord and teach them first and foremost about His goodness and how God is good, and He cares about us and loves us and wants what's best for us. And He says He gives us His laws so that we're not destroyed, you know. And then I'd point out that He says one of His laws is that He'd have no other gods before Him, because these other false gods will lead you astray. And that Jay-Z, his nickname that he gives himself is Jehovah. And people sing Jehovah over and over again, and they put the, you know, the triangle above their head at his concerts. And he sings about being a god over and over again. So I'd say parents need to be wise that when the Bible warns about false Christ and false prophets, a lot of times the prophets in the scripture, they come with a harp. They sing. They use music. And that's kind of interesting when you think about it. And they do today, too, and many of them are false prophets.
And let me mention, Joe brought up an extremely important point right at the end, which is something we talked about at our recent parenting event called Raising Healthy Kids in the Digital Age. And that is that you have to have the right worldview first before you can present any of this. And Joe, I so appreciate your talking about, let's make sure our kids understand each other, understand what Christ has done for them, understand the salvation message, and have accepted Christ. Because once they have that frame of reference, then this message about the dangers of cultural influences, then it makes sense.
Yeah.
If we start hammering with, gee, this music's bad or that music's bad to an unknowing audience, then it's going to fall on deaf
ears. That's exactly right, Rich.
Our guest today has been Pastor Joe Schimmel, the senior pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, and the guy behind Good Fight Ministries and the multimedia presentation entitled They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. There is a full-length 10.5-hour version, but also the Reader's Digest condensed version available as well to try to make this something that you can get to as many audiences as possible. And Joe, what's the best place to find these resources? Is it the Good Fight website?
Oh, yeah. I would send them to goodfight.org. I'd also let them know that they can see, they can go to our theater and see many of the clips, you know, for free and so forth. We have a lot of it on there, but it's great to see it in sequence because that's where we have a design to reach the children.
Sure. Awesome. Joe, thanks so much. We appreciate you being a part of the program.
Oh, thank you guys very much. You guys have been great, and praise God for what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
God bless you, Joe.
God bless you.
And this is Licensed to Parent. We are the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. You'll find us online at licensedtoparent.org. And incidentally, if you missed the first half of our conversation with Joe Schimmel, that is in our archive section, again, at licensedtoparent.org. We ask that you would take a moment as well when you're visiting our site to prayerfully consider whether God might be leading you to become one of our ministry partners. Your monthly support or a one-time gift to Licensed to Parent would go such a long way in helping us help families in need. You can give securely online at licensedtoparent.org when you click on the donate button. Our time is up for today, so for Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you back again next time to renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.